Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, there we go. The mic's on. All right. Every day. I can't control my microphone from in here, so if you guys are like, Aaron, what are you doing? Why are you not talking yet? It's because I can't control my mic from in here. I know, they don't trust me. That's all right. It's this stupid studio setup that they've had here for a long time. It's just weird the way this whole thing is wired. We got an engineer trying to fix it, and then Caden's doing a great job trying to fix some of the mothballs that have piled up over the years here. But it's just like, what a weird setup it is here. Man, I go to some radio studios like, man, Helena, tell you what, Kevin Terry and his crew at the Montana Radio Company, man, they've got, by the way, if you're listening in Helena right now on the Montana Talks app, and you're one of those legislators or lawmakers or whatever, pop in down at KCAP and say hi to, you know, Kevin and the whole crew down there. They really got a good crew. They got cool equipment. And I'm so glad that everybody, you know, listens to Montana Talks and pays attention to our statewide show especially. But, man, don't forget, like, there's a radio station right there in your backyard. What, your temporary backyard, for those of you that are, you know, spending a few months in Helena at the legislature. But anyway, I digress. All right, now that my microphone's up and running, this is like today's O for Pete's Sake moment, I think. There's plenty of options for the O for Pete's Sake moment. I was scrolling some news headlines, and I see this one from the Liberal Lee newspapers. And it's like, really, this is news? This is news to you? Really, this is news to the U.S. attorney for the state of Montana? Who's a nice guy, by the way, but he's a Biden appointee. Anyway, this is the, like, attempted sob story from the attempted news story from the Liberal Lee newspapers. The U.S. attorney for the District of Montana was in the middle of his work week when his computer logged out on its own. The lockout was the only indication that he got that his roughly 2.5 years as Montana's U.S. attorney was at an end. 2.5 years, really not that long, right? The U.S. attorney was one of roughly 20 Biden-appointed U.S. attorneys, and then the Liberal Lee newspapers writes this, whose termination came suddenly. It's February 19th. It's been about a month. The Liberal Lee newspapers knew his job was going away. You and I knew his job was going away. Everybody knew his job was going away. But they act like, oh, no, it's the middle of the work week, and suddenly the job just came to an end. You're a Biden political appointee. If you were a Trump political appointee and the Democrats just took over, you wouldn't have lasted 19 days. You would have already been kicked to the curb. But, oh, suddenly the sob story from the Liberal Lee newspapers because a Democrat loses a job. Don't worry. The Democrats always make, they're going to have high dollar jobs for all their fellow Democrats. They make sure their people are taken care of. Don't you worry.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see sunny skies across the area for today with some increasing clouds late in the day in the Bozeman area. High temperature readings from 27 in Bozeman to about 9 above in Billings. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, some snow showers possible in Bozeman. Lows from 17 in Bozeman to about minus 3 in Billings. Snow showers Thursday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Securing America.
The Department of Homeland Security has launched a series of no-nonsense television, radio, and digital advertisements, both nationally and internationally, aimed at illegal migrants. The ads are voiced by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
President Trump has a clear message for those that are in our country illegally. Leave now. If you don't, we will find you, and we will deport you.
The commercial goes on to say,
follow the law, and you'll find opportunity. Break it, and you'll find consequences.
Appearing on Fox's Jesse Waters Primetime, Secretary Noem said the ads are the next stop in the efforts to secure the border, which the White House says have reduced illegal crossings as much as 90% thus far.
The message that we're sending to the rest of the world through these commercials and through this marketing campaign is, don't come here. We don't want illegals. We don't want criminals.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
So it was crazy. My wife and I stopped in at one of the big grocery stores over the weekend, and we thought, let's pick up some eggs and a few other things, too. They had no eggs at the big grocery store. No eggs. Can you believe it? Well, if you've been following the news, yeah, you can believe it. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal breaks it down on why you're seeing high-priced eggs or no eggs at all. That full story, MontanaTalks.com. Plus, they now have an ICE tip line. Check out that story, MontanaTalks.com.
Stairs.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got a chance to listen to the full, it was a 30-minute interview with Sean Hannity, Elon Musk, and President Trump. In 30 minutes sounds like a lot of time. I mean, in broadcast time, I guess that is a lot of time. But really, that interview flew by. What a fascinating conversation with Sean Hannity and Elon Musk and Donald Trump. I thought it was very interesting, too, because one part of what they talked about, there's a great clip. I might have to find that buried somehow in the midst of that 30 minutes. But there was a great soundbite where Elon Musk talked about how you need one of two things to help get the job done. Or I think maybe Hannity phrased it this way, or maybe Trump did. I forget what led into it. But, you know, Donald Trump was talking about how, look, or no, it was Elon Musk. He was saying, look, you either need to care or you need to be competent. You need to either have care or competence. If you got one of those, we should be on a good path. If you care, well, at least you're trying to do the right thing. And even if you may not have the competence to get the job done yourself, like that's why if I have a plumbing issue at the house, well, you call a plumber. Right. If you have a major automobile need, like, look, I'm going to go to somebody who's competent with that. I may care about fixing my car. I may care about fixing the plumbing. But no, I'm going to find somebody who's competent to get the job done. And Elon Musk was saying, look, I think Donald Trump even slightly disagreed. He said, I think it just comes down to caring. It just comes down to caring. If you care, you'll figure out how to get the job done. But, of course, with Donald Trump and with Elon Musk, you see both care and you see competence. And what have we seen in this country? And this was a point that Elon Musk made, is that with the last administration in particular, they had neither. They had zero competence, which was obvious, and they didn't care. They didn't care how much harm their policies were causing at all. I mean, that was blatantly obvious. So they didn't care, and they were incompetent. And that's why you look at all these efforts by DOGE, by the Department of Government Efficiency, to try to rein in this massive waste, fraud, and abuse that's been taking place in this country on steroids over the last 4 years, but really for decades now. And I think Elon Musk said something to the effect of that they're on track to – I got to go look at – I think I sent something on X. I sent out a tweet that had these exact numbers, that they're on track to peel back $1 out of $2 trillion that they need to peel back just in overspending. Alone, right? All of this, the billions and billions and billions of dollars, and hopefully eventually a trillion, that they're cutting back in spending, and they're only halfway there. Apparently, you know, Congress is going to have to do the other half because they're peeling back some of the discretionary spending. Congress is going to have to come in and peel back some of the other spending here. And that's just crazy when you think about just how much debt and deficit spending has been piled on in just the last 4 years alone. I'm doing a quick scroll. Oh, yeah, here we go. This was Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA. I scrolled through. That's why if you guys follow me on X, at Aaron Flint on X, if you follow me on X, you'll notice I repost a lot of things. Sometimes I'll share my own thoughts there, but I've got a whole website and a whole four-hour radio to share my thoughts, so I don't really have the time to do all that all day long on X. But what I like to do is, if you have something great, or if I see something great, I like to share that. And so I'll repost a lot of stuff just because now, boom, I can go back and find it now. Yeah, it was Charlie Kirk with Turning Point USA. Elon Musk says that Doge aims to cut $1 trillion out of the annual deficit, which is 50% of the current $2 trillion annual deficits President Trump inherited. Congress will have to do the rest. We must return to a balanced budget and fiscal sanity. I mean, that Charlie Kirk, as he's so great about doing, put that all in perspective right now. I mean, you can look out at the media landscape in Montana right now, and they will do sob story after sob story after sob story if a federal employee loses their job. But there's no sob story after sob story after sob story for you if you lose your job. Now, some of them covered the Stillwater mine layoff story, and some of them did a good job covering that story, right? But I'm not seeing a lot of follow up there. And so again, the point that we've been making on this show is there's a lot of bad things that need to be cut. There's a lot of bad things that they are cutting. But when you're running a $2 trillion annual deficit, meaning every year we're losing $2 trillion. We're piling $2 trillion more onto the already $36 trillion national debt. It's not just about cutting, the stuff we don't like. There's some stuff that we like that's probably going to have to get cut there as well. And you know why Congress has spent all this money over the years? You know why we have $36 trillion in debt? It's the Congress. It's term limits. Yeah, true. But you know why really they keep spending, and they've been too afraid to make the cuts that matter over the years, is because you keep demanding it. And whenever they come in and cut something, oh, no, you can't cut that. Oh, no. That's why former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh out of Webo, Montana, he joined us on Friday from Glendive in the 8 o'clock hour. You got to go back and listen to it if you missed it, but he made a good point. Somebody asked him, they wanted funding for what sounded like a good project. He said, okay, who do you want me to steal from to pay for it?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The job of the Federal Reserve, it was famously said 70 years ago, is to remove the punch bowl from the party just as things are starting to heat up. We know that it bungled that job in 2021 when it kept interest rates super low for too long, letting the inflation monster loose. More than 3 years later, the dragon is subdued but still not tamed, and the pressure to reopen the bar, so to speak, is intense. That pressure was evident late last year when the Fed started speaking out of both sides of its mouth, cutting interest rates and voicing concern over inflation at the same time. The partiers paid little attention to the rhetoric, but the economy certainly noticed the action, and inflation has perked up again. Last month, the Consumer Price Index jumped by 0.5%, led by increases in food, energy, and shelter. Can the central bank find the courage to take the punch bowl away again? With new inflationary pressure expected to come from tariffs, not to mention the less than subtle desires of the new administration to push borrowing costs down, the test of its resolve has arrived. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Woody Allen once said that 90% of life is just showing up. But showing up on Capitol Hill is a challenge for some members. Health issues often play a role. Among the House lawmakers facing health issues last year were Arizona Democrat Raul Grijalva, who was diagnosed with lung cancer. He only made 12% of all votes cast. Pennsylvania Democrat Dwight Evans suffered a stroke last May, after which he missed every vote until the end of the year. That dropped his vote participation rate to about 37%. Late Texas Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee made 43% of House votes before she died in July of pancreatic cancer. The Senate overall had a vote participation score of 94.5% in 2024, its lowest since 2019. Republican J.D. Vance of Ohio, now the vice president, missed the most votes of any senator in 2024. Vance was on the road campaigning with President Trump. Still, there were seven senators and 13 House members who never missed a single vote. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund. Today we're discussing the Montana legislative bill that may implement a Montana-only beef checkoff. More to come next.
Come join us at the Stevenson Angus Spring Production Sale on Sunday, March 2nd. 325 Angus sale, including 100 2-year-olds and 110 yearling bulls. Age advantaged and pap tested, these bulls are designed to improve performance, carcass, and maternal function. Also offering 115 females, including April calving cows and yearling heifers. The sale will be at the White Sulphur Springs Ranch and broadcast live for remote buyers. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at StevensonAngus.com.
Can a cattle supplement tub really improve pregnancy rates by 14% or increase the number of normal sperm by 22%? It can if it's FlaxLick by SmartLick Supplements. FlaxLick contains high levels of essential omega-3 fatty acids from flaxseed, paired with a complete vitamin and trace mineral package, plus university research and field trials to prove it works. It's not just another tub. It's the choice for improved reproductive performance. Discover more and find a dealer at SmartLick.com. That's SmartLIC.com.
There's been quite a lot of debate and chatter among Montana ranchers over House Bill 119, which would create the Montana Cattle Committee, a governor-appointed board overseeing a new state-specific beef checkoff funded by a $1 per head assessment pending producer approval. It would be housed within the Montana Department of Livestock and promote only Montana cattle and beef. Larry Schweitzer, a rancher from Ritchie, serves on the working group volunteer board.
The full dollar stand under the control of Montana producers has the potential to do so much more.
Larry Schweitzer says a Montana-specific checkoff keeps funds local, allowing producers to tailor marketing strategy to their needs. 19 other states have a state-specific $1 checkoff in addition to the national checkoff.
The intent is to increase the value of our product. We all know the cattle market right now is phenomenal. Hopefully it'll stay that way for another few years, but at some point it's going to come down as it always has. And at that point, if we can have this project in the works and are able to increase the awareness and the value and the demand for our Montana product, we may be able to defray some of the drop in value when the cattle market starts its decline.
Schweitzer explained a diverse assembly of individuals make up the working group.
We've made an effort to get the word out to producers across the state. We've attended all the annual meetings of the major organizations across the state. It's never been anything that was attempted to be slid through under cover of darkness. We've been as open as possible with it. Our intent is for the good of Montana producers.
If passed, the legislation gives producers the final say around a state-specific checkoff.
All cattle sellers in Montana will be able to vote yes or no on whether to impose on ourselves a $1 per head Montana state beef checkoff, where Montana would retain the entire $1 amount for promotion of Montana beef and Montana cattle.
However, not everyone in the cattle community is on board. Walter Schweitzer, president of the Montana Farmers Union, has concerns about adding another layer of government oversight.
Montana Farmers Union, we support checkoffs, no doubt about it. The second beef checkoff is proposing a whole new bureaucracy and committee that's actually politically appointed by the governor to oversee these checkoff dollars. And we really believe that all of this can be done by the current Montana Beef Council.
Farmers Union wants more clarity on how funds will be allocated and how producers vote on the referendum.
Like bonds and levies, that 40% of those that can vote in this election should have to return a ballot vote for it to be a valid election. I think there's a lot of good that could be coming from a Montana checkoff. Don't get me wrong, but this one isn't ready for prime time.
The Farmers Union says as House Bill 119 moves through the legislature, amendments have been made to improve transparency. More details can be found at westernagnetwork.com. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, now that was very interesting. When I heard Lane Nordlund mention checkoff, my ears kind of perked up there because I was like, we've been talking about, you know, this cattle committee and a potential new beef checkoff here in Montana. And great report there, by the way, by Lane Nordlund. But it first came up back, it was a little over a month ago. Yeah, it was like, a little over a month ago when any Biden appointee in government should have known their job was going to be going away in like 3 days, right? But apparently it's still breaking news a month later if you're the liberal Lee newspapers and the Biden-appointed U.S. attorney, you knew it was happening. In fact, most of the opposing party U.S. attorneys would just resign on day one, knowing that the new president was going to pick, or they would offer up their resignation. I mean, that's just always been kind of the thing to do. But anyway, I digress. So January 17th, we did our show live from the Montana Capitol. We had open microphones. We had a number of legislators come join us on the show, and it was Unleash the Clacken. Unleash the Clacken. It was Representative Shane Clacken out of the, Roundup, Muscle Shell, Grass Range. I think Grass Range is where his home address for the ranch is actually listed. And he first told people, hey, we want to hear your feedback. What do you think of this idea of a new, cattle committee, kind of like the wheat and barley committee that they've got here in Montana? What if we create a cattle committee? And, just like they can promote wheat and Montana wheat and barley, et cetera, we could just specifically promote Montana beef. And, we've heard some pushback from that. We had Jeff Pattison, a Glasgow area rancher, call in one 9 o'clock hour and say, he really doesn't like the idea. He's concerned about it. And then I think Joe Dooling out of Helena raised some concerns and says he's hearing some pushback on it. But anyway, if you just heard the Farmers Union, which is the Farmers Union is like the Democrat farm group. And if it wasn't that a few years ago, that's what it is now. I mean, you've got the brother of the former Democrat governor of Montana who runs the organization. And the word I was hearing was, the Farmers Union is against this new checkoff. That's not what we just heard there. What we heard from Walt Schweitzer was, oh, no, I like checkoffs. Checkoffs are great. He just doesn't want a Republican governor appointing people to the committee. It's like, okay, but how is the process done for the wheat and barley committee? Why can't we just have the same process for a cattle committee if they decide to move forward with a cattle committee? Anyway, I just had to laugh. It's like, oh yeah, the Liberal Farmers Union. Oh yeah, now checkoffs are cool. We're not against a new checkoff. Now we're not against charging that new fee. We just don't want a Republican governor appointing people to the committee. It's not exactly breaking news. Farmers and ranchers overwhelmingly are Republican. Attention to that Fox News update there as I normally otherwise would, but I heard some guy sounded like he had a Russian accent, and that reminded me. Okay, so this is another random one for you since we just got a couple of minutes here before Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr, the Montana Speaker of the House, should be joining us for our weekly legislative update. Joins us every Wednesday here in the 6 o'clock hour, which is great because I know a number of lawmakers actually tune in on the Montana Talks app during this 6 o'clock hour because they're getting, they're driving to the Capitol right now. They're getting ready for work. And then, 8, 9 o'clock when they might normally call in during our more statewide hours. I say more because we're already pretty much statewide all morning long now. They're stuck in committee meetings and things like that. So they'll listen in here in the early morning hours. And that's why we got that great phone call from Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle a couple weeks ago or so. So, hey, if you have some ideas on some topics that we could bring up with the Speaker of the House, it's a quick update. So just send us a message on the Montana Talks app, and then I'm highlighting some different news stories and some of the legislative topics that are making the news as well. But the random thing I wanted to talk about because of the what sounded like a Russian accent during the Fox News update, do you guys remember Ambassador Michael McFaul? Ambassador Michael McFaul, nice guy. He's from Bozeman, Montana. He's a big time liberal, but nice guy, right? Even Rock in the middle of nowhere has a ski buddy who's big time liberal, but nice guy. They like to, hang out. He was Barack Hussein Obama's ambassador to Russia. And man, the Russians just treated him horribly. They treated him and his family so horribly. I wish Obama would have done a better job standing up for our ambassadors, like Michael McFaul from Bozeman, Montana. But anyway, Michael McFaul, he saw the news about how President Trump had a delegation with Steve Witkoff, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and they were actually sitting across the table from the Russian delegation, and they met down in Saudi Arabia. And so you had the Saudis, sitting in the middle of the table, on a four-corner table, on a square table, basically. The Americans here, you had the Russians here, and the Saudis over there. And it seemed like McFaul was just beside himself that the Saudis were at the table and that the Europeans were not at the table. And once again, to me, this is just the brilliance of Team Trump. And this is just the brilliance, because not only are they trying to fix Europe and the mess that the Biden and the Obama regimes created there, they're trying to fix the Middle East once again as well. That was a powerful message, not just for Europe. That was a powerful message to the terrorist regime in Tehran, Iran. That's what that was all about. Just a brilliant move by Team Trump. And I don't think you have to be an ambassador to spot the brilliance of that move. All right, we should have the Speaker of the House coming up right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, let's see. What do we got? Let me do a quick calendar recon here. I just want to make sure. Caden, can we confirm that the... okay, good. The Speaker of the House is on the line. Perfect. We'll have open phones coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, and then a full hour of open phones in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But let's jump into it right now. Great to have Montana's Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, out of Savage, Montana, on the show with us. Mr. Speaker, always a pleasure. I got to say, though, we missed you in Glendive. I know you had important work back in Helena, but we missed you in Glendive for the Gate Show.
Yeah, I miss the Gate Show, too. I run a little fencing business and always try to make it to the Gate Show and meet a lot of good people up there.
That's true. I spent the full 8 o'clock hour Friday catching up with former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh out of Weibo, and we had a great time. And one line that stood out to me, I just tweeted this out. He was talking about how, in the legislature, you always have different groups. Some good, some bad. And they come up to you and they say, well, we really need funding for blank. And he made a great point. It's like, whether it's a good program or a bad program, he's like, okay, who do you want me to steal from to pay for it?
Exactly.
He just had the common sense to say, this is somebody else's money that we're spending here. I just love that line.
Yeah, I know. Another way it's been explained to me is, who do you want me to get to pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a less blunt way to say it, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, before I throw any questions your way, what do you want to share with folks across Montana for our weekly legislative update here?
Yeah, we'll have MAPS on third reading today. That's the Educational Freedom Program. We'll hopefully get that one through its last hurdle. We'll be doing some... judicial reform later on this week, early next week. I've got a bill, House Bill 485, that expands your right to jury trials instead of getting, stuck in front of a district court or Supreme Court judge when it deals with constitutional matters. We're cruising right along, and it's going to get busier and busier these last couple weeks before transmittal. I think we're just north of 550 bills dropped as of last night. So,
wow. Yeah. When is the transmittal deadline? Because for those who aren't too familiar with the Montana legislature, the transmittal deadline is basically halftime of the legislative session, and whatever doesn't get across the finish line by transmittal, it can still get done, but it requires a much heavier lift. So for most things, if you don't get it in by transmittal, it's dead.
Yeah, so general bills will be, it used to be day 45, now it's day 48. we're still on a 90-day session, but for general bills with no money in them, they have to be transmitted from the House to the Senate or the Senate to the House by the end of that legislative day. And then after that's when we work on revenue bills, you know, bills that have money in them. That's when we do the budget. We'll get into House Bill 2 here in roughly a month. We'll get into House Bill 2, and obviously that's the state's budget for the next biennium and all the fun that entails going through that and having the, you know, heavy debates on the floor on, there again, who we want to steal the money from.
Yeah, exactly. Some other interesting headlines that just some random ones that kind of stood out to me here. Let's see. The UM News Service had this one. Bill would make Montana the third U.S. state to ban the sale of lab-grown meat in Montana. You and I know it. That's not meat. Why would they be able to falsely market this?
Yeah, Representative Braxton Mitchell has that bill, the ban lab-grown meat in the state of Montana. Also, another bill that's coming up, Randon Gregg has, is protecting car dealerships from being forced to have to buy electric vehicles to get any, you know, combustion engine vehicles.
Oh, that makes that's great. Is that type of nonsense still being forced? I guess the car dealers are probably the manufacturers are probably trying to get rid of all those that Biden pushed them into manufacturing. Yep. And the car dealers are like, why? We can't sell these things. Why would you force us to have to buy these things? That's interesting.
Yeah. There's been a Tesla that's been frozen for about a month out here that just finally got towed.
Really? Where was that one at?
In the backside of the Capitol.
Really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it got cold, and I don't know if the batteries froze or what, but it was stuck back there. But no, that'll be a good one. And Representative Fitzpatrick is bringing, you know, a lot of tort reform, a lot of just, you know, good conservative lawyery bills, if you want to call them that, that are going to help us, whether it's in the courtroom, whether it's for, you know, just all sorts of good stuff there.
You know, I get fired up when I read some of these fake news headlines that twist reality coming out of the Capitol in Helena. And I'm just a guy here on the radio. I'm not spending 4 months in Helena away from my family and my job like you guys are. It's got to be really frustrating for you when you know exactly what's going on and exactly what the bills say. And then to see, like, for example, the liberal Lee newspapers totally twist it in their headlines, especially.
Yeah. Yep. It gets infuriating.
One that I saw here was there's a bill to protect pro-life pregnancy clinics, you know, that help young women during a time of need. And the Lee newspapers in their headline says, Montana House takes up bill to prohibit regulations on facilities that discourage abortion. It's like, yeah, they want you to think that there will be no regulations on these facilities whatsoever. No, that's not what this bill does. It protects against what California did, where they forced pro-life pregnancy centers to advertise abortions. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah, that's House Bill 388. That is Representative Amy Regeer's bill, and it's a really good one. It's making sure that the pregnancy centers in the state of Montana, you know, can remain true to their, you know, organizational goals, remain true to their faith, you know, and not be forced to do or say things that they don't see as correct.
Yeah, that Representative Amy Regeer, she's a rock star there. I got a kick when the congressional delegation gave their address to the legislature earlier this week. When Senate President Matt Regeer walked in, I thought it was kind of funny because his sister is Amy Regeer, and he walks in, and, you know, like the lawmakers shake the hands when they enter the chamber, and there he is shaking his sister's hand. It was just kind of a funny moment. Funny little sidebar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they're good people. Representative Regeer is an amazing chair of judiciary, and that's a tough job to have.
Yeah, very important committee, especially given a lot of the big debates, you know, the culture wars that the left is trying to thrust upon our kids in particular. A lot of that goes through judiciary. What are some of the other bills that you're looking at that are kind of standing out here?
Yeah, we got some cutting red tape. Another MEPA bill just dropped by Representative John Fitzpatrick. We've got another one by Representative Randon Gregg. This is kind of another pro-life bill. It It establishes a grant program to help first responders and hospitals install newborn safety devices, and it's also ensures resources to provide safe and anonymous options for newborns at risk, almost like a Dropbox. Also, Representative Nellie Nickel has House Bill 377. That bill there is going to protect parents' rights to know what's going on in their child's medical records.
That one's huge. I meant to write that down because I wanted to ask you about that almost first and foremost. Yeah.
Yep.
So are you tracking? Yep. I've had people tell me they're like, hey, they took their daughter in for their teenage daughter in for a medical appointment, and these hospitals are telling them, yeah, we're going to be changing the way the online records go, and you, the parent, will not have access to your child's health records. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Just crazy. Yep.
So that's happening across hospital systems across Montana. I would hope that's something where Republicans stand united and none of them get weak-kneed. I know a lot of them want to, you know, pander to the hospitals, but on that one, man, they need to stand firm, if you ask me.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, and then another one, Representative Geert, has expanding health access for advanced practice nurses, kind of a rural hospital, and they can practice across state lines to help rural hospitals. And yeah, so that's another good one. We also have some CTE educational stuff coming out by Representative Tillman. Representative Buttrey also has one to where high school students can get credits for working in nursing homes and even babysitting, and just some good education bills coming up too. More good education bills coming up too.
Man, that's good stuff, man. So much stuff to talk about. That's why we appreciate doing this weekly legislative update. Speaker of the House, Brandon Lehr, always a pleasure. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Aaron. You guys have a good day.
Hey, you too. And tell any of your fellow House lawmakers, if they ever want to join us on the show, they can call in at any time. We oftentimes have open phones. Or if they absolutely need to schedule something, just have them shoot our producer and myself a note. We can usually find the time, that's for sure. All right. Great to have the speaker. We'll hear Jeff Lasloffy's update right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
They just can't be this stupid. This is now the hill, the left in America, the radicalized, extremely radicalized left wants to go. They want to dig their heels in on all of this reckless abuse, corruption, waste, fraud. And if that's the hill they want to die on, that's fine with me. Because they're not going to win in the end. This is not what our framers and our founders intended in any way, shape, manner, or form. It's just simply not. It is not what the American people want. And the American people have every right to be very angry.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, this country was founded on freedom, freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and tried blockading us, and then we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, and you won't sacrifice service thanks to my cell phone provider, Pure Talk. Now, my cell phone company says no to inflated prices, and with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can get an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for nothing. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk and text and 25 gigs of data and mobile hotspot at a fraction of the price of those big guys. So get your new iPhone 14 or Samsung Galaxy for $0. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch. It's fast, simple, and easy. #250, keyword save now for your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see sunny skies across the area for today with some increasing clouds late in the day in the Bozeman area. High temperature readings from 27 in Bozeman to about 9 above in Billings. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, some snow showers possible in Bozeman. Lows from 17 in Bozeman to about -3 in Billings. Snow showers Thursday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
With the transmittal deadline fast approaching and the number of bills still alive shrinking, I found myself looking across the array of bills and noticed a recurring theme. It can best be summed up with the question, who do we trust? Whether it's a bill to regulate firearms or our churches or our election process or the way in which we educate our children, when you take a look at the bills themselves, it appears we've lost the ability to trust ourselves. To trust our judgment, to trust our fellow citizens, and to trust the ability of individuals to do what's best for themselves and for their families. You've heard me say before that God ordained three spheres of authority, the church, the family, and civil government. And while there is some overlap, all three are supposed to exercise their own authority within their own jurisdictions. None is supposed to usurp the authority of the other two, but that's exactly what we see happening, and it's the government that's trampling on the authorities of churches and families. It's happening because we're losing the concept of liberty and we're becoming far too willing to trade freedom for security. Remember, it was Ben Franklin who said, "Those who are willing to sacrifice freedom for security will lose both and deserve neither." As we move along the scale from a Republican form of government, Republican with a little r, toward a socialist or ultimately communist form of government, we see the power of the individual decrease as the power of the collective government increases. We also see taxes and government spending increase as government assumes a larger role in people's lives. And finally, we see individual freedom decrease, all in the name of increased security. First of all, true security lies in God and His protection. The idea that government provides true security is an illusion that comes at an extremely high cost. Time and again, we see liberals argue for fewer gun rights and at the same time, more police to protect us. They argue for decreased parental rights and at the same time, for more agency bureaucrats to protect children from their own parents. They argue for expanding welfare when we have families trapped in a cycle of generational welfare, trading the potential of a well-paying job for the guarantee of a government check, government-subsidized housing, and a guaranteed lower standard of living. None of this comes for free. It all comes at a very high price, both in terms of borrowed money being used to prop up the system and in terms of personal freedom being traded for a false sense of security. We used to say that Father knows best. Now, far too many of us say that government knows best, an attitude best articulated by former U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy during a debate on a national seatbelt law when he said that the United States Senate should not be above protecting people from themselves. Excuse me? Protecting people from themselves is not the proper role of government. As I said, freedom comes at a high price, and sometimes it's painful or even fatal when someone makes a poor choice. But a government that sees its job as protecting people from themselves will eventually fail on a grand scale, and the people will find themselves without freedom, without security, and financially ruined. Many of the bills currently before the Montana legislature would lead to a larger, more expensive, more centralized government. The answer is not in larger government. It's in more individual freedom. Is freedom risky? It can be, but to be truly free, we need to once again trust in God and trust in ourselves. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszlofsky for that update. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, we'll have phone lines open for you, anything and everything you want to talk about. In fact, I was really excited to see we got a phone call from Tim in Billings. Tim, I hope you either A, stick around. It'll be a bit of a wait with the national news update and more. But we can jump right to you at 7:06 after the Fox News update, if that works for you. If not, hey, we'll have more time in that hour and the 8 o'clock hour as well. But, yeah, here every day throughout the legislative session, we're getting that legislative update from Jeff Lasloff. It's always very insightful. Phone lines are open for you. Plus, you can message us on the Montana Talks app. The number, 294-0970.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The job of the Federal Reserve, it was famously said 70 years ago, is to remove the punch bowl from the party just as things are starting to heat up. We know that it bungled that job in 2021 when it kept interest rates super low for too long, letting the inflation monster loose. More than 3 years later, the dragon is subdued but still not tamed, and the pressure to reopen the bar, so to speak, is intense. That pressure was evident late last year when the Fed started speaking out of both sides of its mouth, cutting interest rates and voicing concern over inflation at the same time. The partiers paid little attention to their rhetoric, but the economy certainly noticed the action, and inflation has perked up again. Last month, the consumer price index jumped by 0.5%, led by increases in food, energy, and shelter. Can the central bank find the courage to take the punch bowl away again? With new inflationary pressure expected to come from tariffs, not to mention the less than subtle desires of the new administration to push borrowing costs down, the test of its resolve has arrived. I'm Patrick Barkley.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.